You're going to be like Shambach. Anyone remember Shambach? Okay. But it's nothing like the presence of God. And we cannot truncate when the Holy Spirit is leading us to do something. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. As always, I thank the pastors for this opportunity. Pastor Ed cannot be here today because we have guests in New York and he has to be there to see to them. So as was said in the announcement, Shekinah Glory Ministries will start ministering today and into tomorrow night. So those of you who are able to join, it will be a very powerful, spirit-moving gathering. Amen. I also want to remind us that December 31st is coming up. How many of you know that? Okay. So December 31st is New Year's Eve. Remember that? Okay. So we will have a service right here. Hallelujah. It's going to be one of a kind. It's going to be spirit moving, life changing. Must I say more? Okay. So invite people to come. Hallelujah. Invite people to join us. I know that technically December 31st really doesn't mean anything. It's just a calendar year that we created. Just like Christmas may not really mean anything, but the point is we decide to go with a system that we are in and dedicate that to Christ. Amen. So bring people, you know, we'll be singing, if you thought the worship was too short, come back on the 31st. It will be long, right? So we'll have a time to worship. We'll have a time to pray. We will have a time to share the word and usher into 2025. Amen. So it's an announcement that you will see coming from next week, but I wanted to give you a heads up. Well, let's see here. When Pastor Ed asked me to share today, several topics came into my mind. Sometimes throughout the month as I'm there, I get messages, but I have no idea where I'm going to share them, so I just write them down. So the message that I believe the Holy Spirit would like me to share with you today is true grace. True grace. So I know that many people know about grace. Many people can, and we'll be doing some definitions today. But one of the things that I hope we learn today is that the Bible is the same from Genesis to Revelations. Nothing really has changed. But every time we go to read the Bible, we are inspired. We get something new. So even if when I start talking, you're thinking, been there, done that, that means you have a wrong attitude. So we're all going to have an attitude check, right? Amen. Let's start with a prayer. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity to share your word. Holy Spirit, teach us, direct us, guide us. And at the end of it all, Lord God, may your name and your name alone be glorified. I thank you, Lord God. I pray that you speak through me. And I pray that each and every one of us will receive what you want for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so when we speak about grace, right, we're thinking about what God did for us, what some unmerited type of favor that we have. Okay, so in our system, the best period that I think demonstrates grace is Christmas. Have you noticed that, and if you haven't, then you haven't been out. Try going out. I was at a DMV yesterday. I waited to my birthday to go and renew my driver's license. So I thought I was smart, but you know. Yeah. So the interesting thing is when Christmas is coming up, whether people are Christians or not, they seem to be nice. Have you noticed that? Have a good holiday. And I'm thinking, yeah, whichever holiday it is, but must be a good one. Right? People smile more. Actually, I've noticed that even in driving, If you have to make that left turn, people allow you to make it more. There's something about Christmas. And I want you to visualize this as we talk about grace. There's something about Christmas that gets us moving. So I'm going to see if today am I doing it wrong still? Okay. So when we talk about grace, I want us to start by saying that God's ministry, Jesus' ministry itself, was built on grace. Why do we say that? Jesus, when he came, you know, the main thing that everybody talks about is Luke 4, 18 to 19, which he was taken out of Isaiah. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." This here summarizes Jesus' ministry. So I want you to go deep into your soul. Is that what you're doing as a Christian? We all sing to be like Jesus, right? All of that. This is his ministry. If this was a corporation, Jesus is saying, here's our goals. Here's what we're doing. So I want us to look at it very well. He's been anointed, all right, but anointed to do what? To heal the brokenhearted. He's been anointed to proclaim liberty to captives. So people who are stuck in whatever situation, it could be a family system, it could be they're broke, whatever it is, they're stuck somewhere. Jesus said, I came to bring them liberty. To bring recovery of sight to the blind. Can you imagine never being able to see and all of a sudden seeing? So literally, yes, Jesus was bringing recovery of sight to the blind, but spiritually, there's also the opening the eyes of your understanding. So that once you get it, you got it. It's the same scripture, but we're breaking it into pieces. And Jesus came to bring liberty, freedom to those who are oppressed, right? Now, there are many people around us who are oppressed. Some of us in here may be oppressed in some areas, but not all areas. Now, when Jesus says that's his ministry, that's the mission, then he's talking about grace. We'll go on to talk about why I say Jesus is talking about grace. Hey, I'm working. Now, Jesus' ministry is about grace. And when we receive Christ and we say we're saved, that means that he has shown us grace. He has given us something. Something that we did not deserve. Something that some of us didn't even know existed. Right? So in Ephesians 2:8, we're reminded that for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Could you say that with me? Lest anyone should boast. Let's say it again. Lest anyone should boast. I really think that we need to pay attention to some of these little nuances. You know, there is that tendency for us to hit our chest hard and say, me, 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 me. And this scripture always takes me back to book. Jesus' mission was a humble one. His mission was to give grace. His mission was to liberate people. His mission was to bring sight to people who can't see. If we're following Jesus, then that should be our mission, right? Now, if you've probably kept up with me, I have said this before and I'll say it again. I believe that the thing that's always on my heart is practical Christianity. I have been a Christian for a long time. And I know a whole lot of scriptures. But I remember being a little girl and people's Christianity meant nothing to me because it was not practical. I saw all those grown-ups who would scream louder than ever, praying more tongues than Paul probably did. But a moment somebody cut them the wrong way, oh boy, did they unleash. So as a little girl, I was thinking, your Christianity is not pretty. You missed the ball. You missed the mission. So let us focus on that mission. Now, what is grace? What is grace? And I'm sure many people have defined grace to you. So I put a few things there, right? So I went back to, you know, different dictionaries. I started with what I think I've been told ever since I was a kid, right? So grace is an unconditional act of kindness and compassion. The key thing there is unconditional, right? Some of us give unconditional things that are bad. Grace has to be good. So it's an unconditional act of kindness and compassion. The Webster Dictionary says it's unmerited divine assistance, a virtue coming from God, favor, goodwill, kindness. That is what grace is. It's unmerited. It's unconditional. It's good. It's a favor. It's positive. The Oxford Dictionary says, is the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. So grace makes it seem like you are getting something real, real good. You really can't do anything to get it, but it has been bestowed on you. That right there is humbling. How many of you can guarantee me that I'll wake up alive tomorrow? When you ask those questions, Christians said, well, by faith, right? So that means you know that you can't guarantee me. It's not 100%. However, we all hope to see you next week, and we do see each other, right? The fact that we can even dare to say see you next week is grace. The understanding that something is being bestowed on us, and we don't deserve it, but we have it. Now, of course, we decided to do a little bit of another language, right? So, you know, grace is coming out of the Greek word charis, which is also from charity. And it's unearned favor, it's a gift, it's a blessing. Key thing there is unearned, it's unconditional, and you receive it. I know you get paychecks for those of you who are still working, but it's earned and it's conditional. Yeah, but you deserve it. Because you work for it, but it's earned. It's conditional because if all of a sudden you decided not to work, they will not pay you, right? But that's not how God's grace is. I got a definition from John Bevere. He says, God's empowerment that gives us the ability to go beyond our natural abilities. So key word there is empowerment. I think we've limited grace to be the thing that always we get. And then we use. And then we keep. When I was driving to church this morning, I was listening to, you know, my favorite radio station. You know, not everybody likes to listen to it, but if you sit in my car, you have to listen to it. And, you know, the guy said that sometimes Christians have become so cluttered with stuff that we can't declutter to receive the new miracle. God said, I'm going to give you a car. Your car is 40 years old, but you keep repairing it. How can you ever get a testimony? Right? So empowerment is one of them. I got this from another pastor, the Mesquite Worship Center, unearned and loving favor of God towards us, a fundamental element that transforms lives and deepens our relationship. So the key word there is transform. In John Bevere's definition, it was empowerment. Okay, so we're going to be picking these things and then going in detail. Now, Paul Tripp, if you ever pull him up, he's not a guy that I would like to hang out with. But somehow, every time he's on my feed, so I always get words that he says, right? Now, his definition is, and he's kind of blunt. That's why I thought we wouldn't be friends. But, you know, he's a good man of God. He said, grace is something that it cannot be earned, but you need it. You can't live without it, but you can't purchase it. And you can't earn it. It only ever comes by means of a gift. So let's remember that it doesn't matter how important you are. It doesn't matter how educated you are. It doesn't matter how popular you are. It comes as a gift. And if you've noticed, multimillionaires and billionaires still like gifts. Have you noticed that? They like gifts. I mean, when something is free, that's why the dollar store still exists. I mean, when I was growing up in Long Island, I knew some people who were millionaires. And, you know, whenever there was, it wasn't dollar stores at that time. I forgot the name, but it was Macquarie or something like that. And whenever they had a sale, these same people went to buy the same things I was buying. Everybody likes gifts. Everybody likes gifts. So that's something that we have to remember. Now, so what is grace? Let's try to put it everything together. It's love manifested. And love is grace demonstrated. So when someone shows you grace, it means they are manifesting love. And whenever you're talking about love, you have to remember that it's God's grace being demonstrated in you. I want you to let that soak in a little bit. That grace is love manifested, and love is grace demonstrated. I know I sound very professorial because you're thinking, aren't they the same thing, manifest and demonstrate? They're not, thank you. So manifest sometimes means, you know, it came on you. You really didn't do much. It came on you. Manifest. Demonstrate you did something. Right? I can't manifest some things in me. I mean, it just comes as is, right? The only example that comes into my mind, you're going to laugh. You know how people will say there's only a few things I have to do, like live black, remain black, and die black. That's manifested. What are you going to do? I mean, really, what are you going to do? You are black, right? So manifested, grace is something that comes to you. Your beautiful skin was manifested in you because that's how God created you. And ideally, you can't and shouldn't try to do anything about it. Right? Now, love is demonstrated. So that goes with a little bit of your willingness to do something, to demonstrate something. If I said, Miss Evelyn, demonstrate to me that you love me, and she goes into her wallet and she gives me $20, that's something. Yes, she'll do that after church today. But that's something that is demonstrated. She had a choice. She had a choice and she chose to do it. Now, this morning, you know, in a few, maybe 15, 20 minutes, I want to take you today through a walk of grace. I want to take you through a walk of grace. We're going to look at different aspects of grace. And as we talk about it, in this invitation to take that walk of grace, some of you may find out that you're just at the beginning of it. You just started, and that's okay. Some of you are in the middle, or you're well above average. How do you know that? If you're in the middle, as we talk about some of these things, it's getting to you like, yeah, I know that. Now, if you're well above it, you're thinking, Yeah, I know that. Been there, done that. I even stopped doing it because it's not worth it. Right? Now, it doesn't matter where you are, whether you're tired of seeing no results from walking this walk of grace, whether, you know, you feel like you're frustrated. It doesn't matter. Wherever you are in that walk, I believe that God loves you so much, wants to reach you at that stage, get you hooked in, plugged in, and move forward. Amen? So let's look at some of the things that this walk of grace is about. First of all, grace is forgiveness. Grace is forgiveness. If you've never thought of it, this morning when we were doing the intercessory prayer, I was checking Donna out because I thought she was taking a kind of peek into my wallet and stuff and seeing my notes. See, Donna talked a lot about forgiveness and, you know, Jesus taking our sin and all of that. But grace is forgiveness. Now, as you see over there, Jesus died on the cross to save us, right? And opened the door for us to have eternal life through salvation, which is the ultimate demonstration of grace. I mean, we committed so many crimes and Jesus did the time. Forever. Forever. And we continue committing little crimes and Jesus still comes to remind the judge that I did a time. Right? That is the ultimate grace. So if you are here and you're saved, you're having that ultimate grace. Don't take it for granted. If you're here and you're not saved, then that is something that you should really seriously consider because you're not guaranteed tomorrow, right? So why is forgiveness important? Grace compels us to, you know, it compels us to forgive ourselves and others repeatedly. When we go to Matthew chapter 18, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21. Now, it says, later Peter approached Jesus and said, how many times do I have to forgive my fellow believer who keeps offending me? Good question. Don't we have so many believers here who keep offending us? So, I mean, Peter was real. She said, okay, let's talk about this. Forgiveness then. And Peter actually had a little bit of an attitude and he says, seven times? So to him, seven seemed like a lot. So Jesus answered and said, not seven times, Peter, but 70 times, seven times. So in other words, 70 times seven is what, 490? So in other words, I mean, can you imagine if I'm always going to forgive my fellow Christian sister or brother, and I'm counting. So right now I've forgiven Zena 20 times, Miss Evelyn 73 times, Mr. Vinny 3 times. I mean, that's a full-time job, isn't it? So that is Jesus' way of saying, Peter, quit with that seven business. Keep doing it repeatedly. So that means that the walk of grace means you forgive people. You forgive your fellow Christian sisters and brothers no matter what. Now, another part is the walk of grace has also to be shown to you. You forgive yourself. Have you come across believers who just can't forgive themselves? Not being able to forgive yourself, it's a signal of pride. Because you're thinking, how dare me do that? No, I was not supposed to do that. And I did it. And everybody said, well, you did it, so move on. Right? So that walk of grace emphasizes forgiveness is very important. In Matthew 5:44, we're even told to love our enemies. Remember, we started talking about the house of God. Now we're broadening it. Even the people who don't like you, you're supposed to love them. Now, I put in that one example of human forgiveness so that it captures our attention. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 19, remember Joseph. We were talking about Joseph the other time at home, and, you know, we were dissecting this whole thing, and we said, you know, in all fairness, Joseph's father was not exactly a fair parent, right? He had all these kids, and then he made like a nice coat for one of them, and he got a mouth, and every time he has to let them know that he's their favorite, and he has this. So when he was coming, you know, the big brother said, come here, we're just going to get rid of you. It's not justified. But, you know, if you're putting it in today's world, that's what it looked like. Now, in verse 19, Genesis 50:19, it says, but Joseph dried his tears and said, don't be afraid. So this is Joseph to his brothers. How could I ever take the place of God? Even though you intended to hurt me, God intended it for good. It was his plan all along to ensure the survival of many people. So don't worry. I myself will provide for you all that you need, both for you and your little ones. Then with more kind, reassuring words, Joseph comforted his brothers. I don't know about you, but if any of my siblings put me in a dungeon and I got sold and I went someplace, I mean, you're talking decades. Let's be honest. The first time we see them, we will have many creative things we could do to them. So whenever a brother or sister offends you so much that it's affecting your grace walk, I want you to go back to Joseph's story. If he forgave, then I think that, I mean, none of us have been put in that dungeon yet. If you have, then you need to share that testimony, right? So I was led to use that example because that's, you know, I can't even imagine any of my siblings doing that. And if they did, we would have to have an all-night tongue-speaking prayer meeting before, you know. And that's the humanness of us. But grace means forgiveness. One of my favorite people I listened to, a British guy, Nicky Gamble, he said something that I thought was very convicting. He said, if someone has offended you, don't return the offense. It is said that holding a grudge is like letting someone live rent-free in your head. Instead, return hatred with love. So if you don't remember anything today, remember that if someone is offending you and you allow it to keep you going, they're staying in your head rent-free. This is money you could make. Let them go. Let them go. Amen? Now, another feature of grace is that grace is humility. We started talking about everything that Jesus did, right? Everything that Jesus did. You know, we are made righteous because of what Jesus did. It's humbling. You committed so many sins and crimes, and I also did, and Jesus showed up and said, I'm taking it all. I'll do the time. I'll take the punishment. And this is forever, as long as you keep that agreement with him. Amen? So God showed his love by dying for us, even as sinners. Now, I know many people know this scripture, but we're going to go back to read it. And I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. So let's go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. If you ever underline your Bible, that's what you should underline. While we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still sinners and still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. The thing I want us all to remember is that Christ did it for us while we were still sinners. That should humble you. It humbles me, and I hope it does. The Bible also goes to say that even when sin increases, there was more. Even when sin increased, there was more grace. Now, if we're saying that we're walking the walk of God, we're being like God, then we should never get to the point of thinking, I've shown enough grace to this person, and that's it. Grace finished. No more, there's a quota on the grace, and we're not doing it anymore. Now, if you go to Romans chapter 5, same chapter, but go down to verse 20, say, so then, the law was introduced into God's plan to bring the reality of human sinfulness out of hiding. And yet, wherever sin increased, there was more than enough of God's grace to triumph all the more. So I think King James says that, you know, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more, right? Now, if we're following Jesus, we can't say, well, he's God, that's why he could do it. He empowered us to do all that he did. So that means that if he can show grace even when sin abounds, we should also be able to do that. Amen? Very, very important. We can't boast or be prideful, looking at people in a judgmental way, if we understand true grace. If we understand, we read that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, right? That this grace is a gift. We cannot boast about it. We cannot say, I did A, B, and C, and that's why Jesus died for me and me and me and me alone. We can't say that. So the grace is a gift. The next time you find yourself having an attitude in your head, and I have it too sometimes, you see people do something or you hear them say it and you know they're not Christians and you're thinking, well, that's why they got what was coming. You know, all of those thinking, we need to check our thoughts because our grace is something that we didn't work for. We did not deserve. Christ decided to do it for us. It manifested in us because we agreed to something. It's like you were walking. This comes to my mind. Years ago, Sandy was probably 2 or 3. We were walking in Florida. And what do I know? Some guy said, do you want to go to Disney for free? We had plans to go to Disney. Then the key thing there was free, right? So I said, yes. He said, you have to go to some breakfast and we'll tell you something. Okay. Now, you know how it went. It didn't go the way I thought. We went to Disney free, all right, but we ended up with a timeshare, right? So, but that's not how God died. God does not have any hidden agendas, right? He does not have any hidden agendas. Let's be very mindful of how prideful we get, what we boast about. Now, sometimes we may be going through something that is not what we see as a testimony. So you have a pain, nobody in your family wants to talk to you anymore. You know, it's just chaos. If you notice, most of the songs we sang today, we're singing about grace and we're thinking about God bringing order to chaos, right? So remember Paul's, you know, thorn in the flesh? Now, I know that many theologians have come up with different things that it was. We really don't know and it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, Paul had something that was definitely not a gift from God. And he was not happy about it. But what we learn in, and you can read this later on, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. Paul went to God many times. You know, take this away from me, take this pain, take this thorn. But he didn't go. And eventually he says what? My grace is sufficient for you, right? For when you're weak, you're strong in him. So it doesn't matter what your situation is. You're probably not having a very positive or favorable, nice experience. But God's grace is sufficient to carry you through. So if you're a logical thinker, you're thinking, but what is the point? Why do I have to go through it? I really believe that sometimes we go through these things so that we can empathize. If Paul never had a thorn in flesh, that was never going, Paul would never understand people who are stuck. Miss Naomi, can I pick on you? So Miss Naomi just had her knee done. Now, I had my knee done in May. Miss Terry had her knee done before me. Now, when we were greeting, we all went round and we said, oh, the knee club, and we encouraged her. If I had never had that knee replacement, I would never have understood what Miss Naomi must be going through. If you've never had a problem with your knee, you would never understand how important your knee is. Most of you probably think that just means you can't walk. Oh, when your knee is gone, you actually can't turn in bed. Your knee does way more than you think, right? And I'm not saying God gave me the knee problem. Absolutely not. But when I had it and I had a surgery, I saw the grace of God. People go through surgeries and die in anesthesia. People go through surgeries and have what? Infections, right? I was telling Donna, my doctor was trying to make a joke and I missed the joke totally. He asked me before he left that day after the surgery, he said, do you know how they'll let you go home? And I said, no. He said, as soon as you can raise this leg, they'll let you go home. I took it literally. So I'm there speaking in any tongues that I know possible. But you know what happened? In about 1.5, 2 hours, my leg actually, I could raise it and put it down, although I still had the anesthesia in me. So the nurse comes, and I'm very excited, and I said, wow, I can raise my leg so I can go home tomorrow, right? She looks at me like, you're going tomorrow anyway. And then she said, but by the way, I've never seen anyone raise their, because I had the surgery like 1:30, and it's like 3:30, 4. She said, I've never seen anyone raise their leg like that. So I was like, oh, that was a joke my doctor was making. But you know what? I think my faith carried me through there because I thought literally I had to raise my leg and I wanted to go home. So I did, but it's the grace. It's the grace. It's the grace. That's why when you're going through something, it's always not a good idea to go to Google to try to get all of those things. Because did you know that Google, Reddit, I love those people. Sometimes it's like funny. I mean, go to Google and say, I have a little tingle on my left finger. There's about 5,000 people who say that. And then they'll tell you a big illness that you have. And I think, no, 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 we don't have that. Right? So let God's grace be the humbling factor for you. Remember that all the time. Christ is interceding for us, right? Romans 8:34 says he's sitting on the right hand side of God, the Father Almighty, interceding for us. Not only did he take our sin away, he's sitting there interceding, continuous. Now that loops us back. That is the reason why Peter asking whether we should forgive 7 times was not enough. If Christ is interceding, not just 7 times, but continuously, then the onus is on us to what? Forgive continuously. Amen? Now, grace is also boldness. Remember the definition that I gave from John Bevere? Empowerment. Grace has to do with boldness, right? Boldness comes from in Ephesians 3:12. I was reading something by Rick Renner, and he was explaining how the word boldness is from the Greek word parousia, which describes a frankness of speech that is often viewed as unflinching authority, even in the face of opposition. So someone says, oh, it's not going well. So it will go well. How do you know? I don't, but I know it will go well. Amen? Because what does Romans 8:28 say? God causes all things to work out for our good. It doesn't mean we are always doing the right thing. We do a lot of not right things. But when we are humble enough, walking that grace walk, God is able to cause it to turn around. Amen? Now, we are gifted with a right to boldly go into his presence and communicate directly with him. When you go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, and I'm going to turn to that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. So now we draw near freely and boldly to where grace is enthroned, to receive mercy's kiss and discover the grace we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness. So remember, we started, I think it was Donna that started by saying that God never told us that difficult times won't come. But he assures us that he will be there. And that's a thing to remember. It's a thing to remember. Our boldness comes from the fact that we have a right to go before that throne because God is our God and Jesus Christ is interceding on our behalf. That strengthens us. So through our ups and our downs, you know, the 2 Corinthians 12:9 over there, still talking about Paul's thorn in the flesh. So even through your thorn in the flesh, remember that you still have that boldness to go before the throne. You have that boldness to go before the throne and to say whatever, ask God for whatever you want. Now that means that if you have that boldness, that means that you can also use that boldness to intercede for other people. I challenge you to try to get here a little early. Get here by 9:50. It's only 20 minutes. And let's all join forces to intercede. It's very important. You don't have to know how to pray and be eloquent. All of that is unnecessary. You just have to know how to talk and be in agreement, right? So grace, if we're taking that grace walk, grace equips us and it empowers us to serve other people. It empowers us to serve other people. Grace should compel us to help. Now, my phone is trying not to be graceful over here. So when you go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, in the New Living Translation, it says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. It never said God has given you the gift, so use it for yourself and that's it. On Friday Bible study, we were talking about God's abundance. And we concluded that what? We're blessed to be a blessing. So when you have so much gifts, resources, that means that God is expecting you to use it to bless somebody else, right? In Matthew 25, verses 35 to 40, and I'm not going to read all of that. This is when, you know, Jesus was talking to the disciples and other people, and he ended up, you know, in verse 25, for I was hungry and you fed me, I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. You know that scripture? Read it later on, Matthew 25, verses 35 to 40. So for those of you who are probably somewhere in the middle of your grace walk and you're frustrated because you don't see any signs, any rewards, any evidence that comes from what you're doing, you keep putting that baked cookies out of your neighbor's door and they never even come to say thank you, but you see that they ate it. If you're feeling some way about it, try to look at Jesus. He's probably been giving us cookies all this time. We go to the door, we take it, we eat it, and we're not going back. When we go to church and the worship goes a little too long, we're kind of upset. Amen? Now, whenever I read that scripture, and I know that she's going to say, you're always picking on me, but Shaniqua comes to my mind. Shaniqua has a heart for the homeless. It's unflinching. That's all she talk about. She forgets about the fact that she's female and, you know, that environment around Walmart could be rough, you know, sometimes. But that is her passion. She has the grace to do it. So everybody's thinking, God bless Shaniqua. Here's my challenge to you. As an individual, you're an adult, right? You're 18 and up, right? Approach Shaniqua. Shaniqua, wave so everybody knows you. Approach her and ask her, what do the homeless people need? And if God puts it on your heart, to purchase a jacket, give it to Shaniqua. Shaniqua is Miss Fashion over here. She don't need your jacket. I can assure you of that. She will make sure that somebody, remember how cold it was last week? Can you imagine living under that bridge? It should not make us comfortable as Christians. It should not. It should not. It should not. It should not. It should not make me comfortable. Now, you probably don't have money to buy a jacket. I understand that. Almost all of us have about 3 jackets. Don't ask me why. Unless you're wearing all 3 jackets, I think you should reconsider. And you probably want to take it to Salvation Army or somewhere like that because they'll give you a receipt to do the tax thing. That's all nice. But unless you're really giving $1 million, those things don't do anything, your taxes. That when you're walking in grace, God gives you way more than that little write-off. Amen? So maybe you are not, maybe you're not ready to go under the bridge, and I'm not saying you should do it, but there's someone going. And she's not just going. For those of you who come for the men's meetings, there's other men, Vinny goes, right? So there's other men, they go there. So you have no excuse. That's all I'm saying. You have no excuse. Grace walk means compassion. Now, grace walk also means transformation. And transformation is a continued change of you inside out. If you still have the same attitudes that you had when you became a Christian, reflect. Something has to change. Allow Christ to change you from inside out. Look at Paul. Paul transformed from what? The persecutor to probably the person who wrote most of the books in the New Testament. Right? Now, that may, some of you may say, that's radical. That's okay. You don't need to be Paul. But can you change a little bit for us? Let us see you walk the grace walk. Again, we've said that we're in a world where things are getting, you know, a little difficult, you know. People will say, well, did you see the TV lately? I'm not watching too much TV, right? When, you know, there's a lot of greed. There's a lot of deception. People are selfish. People are, and you know what? I say ditto. I agree with all of that. But you know what? The Bible told us that. When you get a chance, read 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 to 5. The Bible told us that. So why do we keep getting shocked and making it seem like this is something that we never expected? The world is not going to get peachy better. Sorry, young ones. You will experience liberation in a chaotic world, that I can assure you. But the world itself is not, this is not heaven. So let's not use that as the reason why we're not doing the grace walk. Amen? Another feature of this grace walk is hope. Grace is hope. Grace encourages us to have a positive outlook to life. Now, I'm not talking about a fake positive outlook, because you know people can read that. When everybody knows you are scared and you think it's bad, but you're just saying, oh yeah, it's all, no. Practice a genuine positive outlook. Now, I told you, you know, my famous radio station, I listen to them every time. I even sometimes have conversations with them. But there's this guy and a woman who host a program, and they can be a little, you know, corny sometimes. But she said, oh, guess what the Holy Spirit, kind of like, guess what I realized this morning? And of course, the guy always says, what? And so she said, I got out of bed and I sat down and I said, oh, it's Monday. We all feel that way. And then she said, immediately, I said, oh my goodness. Look, I can get out of my bed. Look, I can sit, I can stand, I can walk. And then she's going on. And of course, the guy, you know, they are radio people, so they have to be funny. So the guy had to kind of kill her joy and said, oh, so what you're saying is we should appreciate what we have. And the woman said, yes. And you know what? It did minister to me. I think that we are not able to have a positive outlook to life because we become complainers. Our whole system is organized such that we complain, right? So when there's nothing wrong with you, you actually don't talk to anybody. When there's something wrong with you, then you talk to people. So, and I'm not saying you shouldn't talk to someone if there's something wrong, but if you started practicing this, which I've started doing, wow, thank God that I could walk. Wow. Some of my Jewish friends, when I was in Long Island, they talked about how for Hasidic Jews, they have a habit where they're supposed to thank God for everything they do. And so, of course, we're in grad school, so you know we're not very mature. So someone said, so even if you pee? And you know what he said? Do you know the number of people who have problems with peeing? Right? So if you haven't started that, start that habit. And don't tell anyone because they may laugh at you, but do it with yourself. Thank God that I'm walking. I'm moving. Thank God that I could turn around. Right? When we're worshiping today, I felt the Holy Spirit was moving so much. I wanted to kneel. And then I realized they told me that the thing in my knee, you know, it doesn't kneel. So I remember saying, God, I'm kneeling in my heart. Amen? So thank God for what you are able to do, not what you can do. What good does it do to you? Right? Now, if you do that for yourself, then it's easier for you to try to help somebody else. It's easier for you to infuse that positive look, right? In Romans 8:28, you know, God causes all things to work out for our good. We go to Romans 8:37. We realize that God does a whole lot for us. Does a whole lot for us. But he needs us to initiate things. He's not just going to do if you don't want it. Amen? When you get a chance, read John chapter 16, verses 32 to 33. And it's the idea that, yes, we are going to have tribulation. We are going to have tribulation. It's nothing is going to be, you know, peachy, happy. All of that is just a nice Cinderella book. But the bottom line is, we are more than conquerors. The bottom line is, in all of these, we're more than conquerors. We are overcomers. We can overcome in different ways. Have you seen people who are running a race, fall down, and still kind of go that way slowly, but they should break that, right? And that's you. You are an overcomer. Learn to walk in that grace of hope, because then it goes over to other people. Now, people ask questions like, why is everything going the way it's going? I'll tell you something. Sociologists and economists will tell you that a lot of what's going on, so even if you went out of the Word of God, is that two concepts that look good on paper have clashed. Capitalism and individualism. So if you don't realize, that's why I said it's not getting any better. So capitalism is, you know, you're a good business person. You make as much profit as possible, regardless of what's happening to anybody, right? If you are a fast food person, you throw the remaining of the food away because God forbid somebody eats it. And, you know, so we have that mind. And then individualism. I'm competitive. I'm going to win. I'm going to be at the top. You know, sometimes when I have students who are always, well, I had an A, and I said, so you want a bigger A? I easily give you those 2 points. Because 94 to 96 is still an A. But that's individualism at play. Now, when these two clash, which is what we're having now, we have people who are uncaring, who are greedy, right? So think of it. And I'm picking on Walmart. I don't know if they did anything. Walmart will actually still be okay if they decided to decrease all their tomatoes by $1. They'll still live. But Walmart won't do it till it's really getting rotten. And then what do? Buy one, get one off, whatever they do, right? And then when you buy it, it's in your fridge, but it's still rotten because it was really bad. But that's capitalism at its best. we are in the system and we have to acknowledge that we are in, we're not going to stop it, but we are conquerors in the system. Grace is love manifested. We are required to love. It's a commandment. So let's not even debate it. And for those of you who want to, where does it say? Go to Matthew 22, Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 40. We are commanded to love. But it has to be love as defined by God. So in 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 to 20, and I'm going to read that from the Message Bible. 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 to 20. It says, my dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know we're living truly, living in God's reality. It's also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism, even when there is something to it. For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves. The bottom line is grace walk means you demonstrate love. You are commanded to love. You need to show it. It's not just talk. I'm tired of talk. Everybody has a big, big proposal and plan and what could be happening. I mean, I like that we all say it's a good thing to help the homeless. But I hope I'm not doing anything wrong. My point is nobody's stopping you from helping the homeless. You have your wallet, right? Shaniqua, am I saying? Yeah, you have your wallet. Target. And all these places, they have sales, and you know, we're not asking you to buy 20 of them. If you feel it, one, and give it to somebody. Now you're saying, but what if you give it to them and they sell it? I say you watch too much TV. Drop it. When you give a gift, it can go 50 million ways. But once you give it, it's not for you to keep track of how it's going. So stop that thinking. You see someone in church, and this happened in real church in another country. So someone who always came to church, and you can tell from their clothes that, you know, they're not wealthy. So another person felt led to help them. But I'm sharing this because I don't know why the Holy Spirit is taking me there. They bought new clothes, very nice clothes, and went to the sister and said, here, the Holy Spirit wants me to give this to you because, you know, the way you dress is not good. Now, is there a good deed? Yes. Is there love manifested? No. And so the person said, well, what did I do? Why is she offended? Why is she crying? You know, and it was such a, and I, it was like in a November-ish time. And I said, could you have waited till Christmas and just wrap it out and said, Merry Christmas? Right? So love manifested, but Holy Spirit guided. And God's wisdom stamped on it. Very important. Love manifested, Holy Spirit guided, and God's wisdom stamped on it. Amen? We need to do more than we're doing. This grace walk to me is very humbling. It's something that I wish that you would think about. I didn't get to print notes like I normally do, but if you have an email, a text, and you want it, I'll send it to you. I don't care. I just want you to walk that walk of grace. Amen. I want you to walk that walk of grace. I want you to show that grace to all the people you work with, all the people you encounter. You know, yesterday, Sandy and I were in Ross. We were in line forever. I'm like, okay. I even regretted the one thing that I was buying there. But you know what? There was a man in front of us. He had a few things. I talked to him because he had too many things. They were falling down. I said, sir, your shirt fell down, right? And then at some point, he actually said, I want you guys to go ahead of me. And we said, oh, no, that's okay. And he said, oh, no, go ahead of me because my wife has a lot. And he always has a lot of coupons that he argues about. So I want you to go ahead of me. Now, it sounded funny, and later on we took it, right? But you know what? That was him showing us grace. Now, I don't know whether he's a Christian or not, but that was him showing us grace. The next time you're in line and you see that mom or dad with three kids who are just not having fun, they want to spill out of there. You know, really, if you're not in a hurry to go anywhere, can you just let them go ahead of you? That is your way of demonstrating love. Will they ever reward you? No, some people may not even say thank you. But that's okay, because you are the one at the last day, Jesus will say, "For when I was in line, you let me go." Amen? The person trying to make a left turn. I mean, a left turn is an issue for me. If you've been to my house, there's this junction that you make a left turn and nobody wants you to make that left turn. Make it a habit. Watch your walk of grace. If Christ is doing all of this for you, not because you deserve it, then, you know, replicate that. Replicate that. And that's what was really on my heart. How do we conclude? How's your love work? Can we see you demonstrate love in your grace work? Are you experiencing this general sense of dissatisfaction? That's another message one day. Many of us have it wrong. We want to be happy. Happy is a temporary thing. It's a thing you feel when you go on the ride in Disney. But you know how fast that ride is? What we should be seeking is contentment, satisfaction. So if you have that general sense of satisfaction, you're not feeling, you know, happy, you're not feeling all together, I challenge you, give away that one coat. Please, could you? It would give you a sense of satisfaction that you can never believe. Try it and see. Try it and see. Give something away. Serve somebody else. Show them love. Real love, like the Message Bible was talking about. God's grace is always available and demonstrates that his love toward us has no limits. Why is it that our love towards other people have limits? Now, I'm not saying if someone is slapping you, go stand there and be slapped left, right, left. That's stupidity. God has given you wisdom. So move away. Stop being slapped. But maybe if you were trying to give them cookies and they were slapping you amidst the cookies, maybe mail the cookie to them. Right? So God will give you wisdom, but our love should have no limit. It should have no limit. Should we forgive? Yes. Should we have boundaries? Absolutely. Remember Pastor Ed? I think it's Pastor Ed tells the story of the guy who took the money and never brought it. You know, okay. Now, every time I think about it, I laugh because, yeah, you've probably had that experience. Can you lend me $100? And you're thinking, and how are you going to get that $100 back when you don't have a job? So if you did it 4 times, then at some point you should question yourself, are you doing it because why? So they're asking for a loan of $100. You know they won't pay you back. But maybe set your heart and think, I could give them 20 for free. Say, I'm sorry I don't have $100 for a loan, but I could give you 20 for free. Amen? And that will be a good way to demonstrate your love in a real way. The last thing I'm saying is, embrace the grace that has been given to you and extend it to others. You have been given grace. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. We don't. There's nothing we did to get it. We can't buy it. It's humbling. Let that humility motivate you to do something about it. Amen. You talk to them about Jesus, they don't want to come to your church, that's okay. The whole church thing, it's not a thing that Jesus was actually looking for. It's salvation and discipleship. Keep reaching out. Amen? Hallelujah. I want us to spend a minute or so praying for ourselves, that God will open our eyes to know which area in our grace work that we need to work on. Hallelujah. And God will direct us on what to do about it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word that has come forth. We thank you that it is sharper than any two-edged sword and it's cutting asunder. We thank you, Lord God, for your love, your grace that is limitless. We pray, Lord God, that you will continue to help us, be with us, direct us, empower us, embolden us. Father, help us show compassion in the name of Jesus. We pray that, Lord, you help us make a difference in somebody's life. Transform their lives. Not in a big way, but in the way that you want it to be transformed. Father, we pray that you continue to be with us. We thank you for your grace that is sufficient for us in whatever situation we're in. We thank you that we are more than conquerors. We are overcomers. And because of that, we can say, Lord, you are good. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.